At RSA Europe 2010, I spoke to Brad Arkin, Senior Director of Product Security and Privacy at Adobe, about security in the next generation of Adobe software. I asked him to detail the changes that have been made to products like Adobe Acrobat and Reader to make them more resilient to hacker attacks.
Some of the changes that we've made are very low level. So an example is we've gone through and done a lot of code hardening. And we did a lot of code hardening for version 7, 8, and 9 when we announced our security initiative for Reader and Acrobat back in May of 09. But there's some things which are too risky to do because you're changing too much of the code. And so it's too risky to do as part of an existing version. And the chance to start fresh, you can do very risky things because you've got the chance to fix whatever it is that you broke when you did it. So one example is we have a list of banned functions at Adobe. And this is similar but not identical to the Microsoft banned function list. And we went through and used automated scripts to find and replace every instance of some of these banned functions. Some don't lend themselves to this technique, but the ones that do, we were able to go through and change huge numbers of instances where an unsafe function was used. And the trouble when you do that is that you might break something by accident. And so the tremendous amount of testing that goes into a major version release gives us the chance to have confidence we didn't break anything. So those types of code hardening things, which are too risky for version 9, we've been doing for the next version. Sandboxing is a very big feature, and it's something that we've been talking about a lot, and a whole lot of work went into it. But we've also done a lot of work around our secure product lifecycle applied to all of the new features and new functional aspects of what's changing with Reader. And so anytime any developer opened up an existing file or created a new file, we worked very closely around threat modeling and assessing the code and doing peer reviews and doing our static code analysis in order to look for not just flaws, but opportunities to make it more conservative. Because even with highly trained developers with a lot of experience, there's always the chance that something that looks good on first and second try might actually have a flaw that's hidden somewhere in the code. And so being really conservative at every step is one of the things that we're doing for anything new that we build to make it as robust as we can. And then doing wide sweeps across the code base, looking for things we can tighten up and things that would be too risky to do otherwise. So I think that the big things that we changed are code hardening, a big emphasis on making sure that every single library and file is opted into ASLR and DEP so we can take advantage of those features on the Windows platform. And then the sandboxing features is the real big one. And although sandboxing is getting a lot of attention, the regular user, so my mother and father, will never notice it's there. It's on by default, and there's no performance impact to the snappiness or speed of the way it responds. And then almost every use case will work identically inside the sandbox, and there's 0.1% of things which might be a little bit different. And we've been working with our major customers to identify those things and figure out workarounds for them. But the vast majority of users will never notice it's there. And that's the goal, because if it was, then there's a risk they might turn it off or complain about it. And because it is such an exciting mitigation technology, that is something that we definitely want to have on for as many users as possible.
For Computer Weekly, I'm Warwick Ashford.